John Joe Zuckert-Velo. This is TabeelPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our studio high atop Tbilisi's warm, not-so-crowded, and pollen-ridden Rustavelli Avenue. Today is Thursday, the 4th of April, 2013. On this date in 1147 was the first historical mention of Moscow. On 1721, Sir Robert Walpole takes office as the first Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. 1850, Los Angeles, California is incorporated as a city. 1882, Jesse James is shot in the back, holding aces and eights. 1918, Marshal Foch becomes the Supreme Allied Commander. In 1948, Harry Truman signs the Foreign Assistance Act and the Marshall Plan. In 1949, 12 nations sign the North Atlantic Treaty, creating NATO. 1964, the Beatles occupy the top five positions in the U.S. Billboard charts. 1973, the World Trade Center in New York is officially dedicated. In 1975, Microsoft is founded as a partnership between Bill Gates and Paul Allen in Albuquerque, New Mexico. 2002, the Angola government and UNITA rebels sign a peace agreement ending the Angolan Civil War. Birthdays today are Arthur Murray of the dance studio fame, Robert Downey Jr. of the Robert Downey Jr. fame, Maya Angelou, Muddy Waters, Hugh Masekela, and Marguerite Duras, who, by the way, was born in Saigon. We are Cameron Christensen, Matthias Hooter, and me, Mark Mullen. Nothing we say can be connected with any of our employers, past, present, or future. By the way, we recorded in the morning last week, enjoyed it, we're keeping it up, so we're going to start coming to you a little bit earlier than we have in the past. Thanks again to those for posting on our forum. We are honored to have well-known international big shot Donald Rayfield, who wrote the recent history of Georgia, Edge of Empires, comment on our page. He'll be coming here soon for TEDx Tbilisi, for those of you who are lucky enough to get tickets. If you remember, last week I asked what was the deal with the honey, because I'm embarrassed to say I forgot about Sodne Dadiani, which of course I knew, but okay, anyway, I just forgot.
We totally all just blew it.
I really knew, I mean, the Mongols' visage and the whole bit, but I don't know. The whole image of like some guy actually in front of Goldani prison smearing himself in honey just overwhelmed my memory. Anyway, here's Rayfield from our forum with the straight dope. Quote, "Covering one's naked chest in honey is an old tradition signifying readiness to accept undeserved punishment in solidarity with one's comrades." It goes back to Sodne Dadiani, who galloped all the way from the Khado Pass in Ani in Armenia, where he surrendered to the Mongols in 1246 and joined other Georgian prisoners who'd been left naked, covered in honey, to be devoured by ants. Sotne so amazed the Mongols with his selflessness that the Mongol Khan Arghun released all the suspected Georgian conspirators. There's a famous poem about that, by the way, by somebody that I should remember but don't.
So that was an awkward scene in 1246 when he came and like screwed himself. Yeah, yeah. And they were like, what's that reference? Don't get
it. Yeah, exactly. But now we know, so, you know, right? Smear your body with honey for Baccio seemed to have worked. A great link on the independence or autocephaly of the Georgian church posted by Simon. Check that out.
I'm not sure if he mentioned on there. I just was recently looking up that the church in Abkhazia actually declared its independence also in 2009. I was looking at that just because of the whole kind of, you know, role of the church recently in international relations between countries and areas in the region.
But I think the Russian Orthodox Church never recognized any breakaway churches from Georgia.
Yeah, there was some, just this past week, there's some to and fro between the Patriarch and Enclave about that because, you know, the church has its own rules about these things and are supposedly different from politics. And Enclave was saying, we want our own church. And the, you know, Patriarch, the Georgian Patriarch said, you know, hold your horses there, Tiger. And, you know, evidently the Russians were being, you know, there's some solidarity there. As some of you TabeelPod old-timers may remember Will Dunbar, the TabeelPod mascot, he said regarding TAM, its runway was indeed bombed in 2008. The runway is to the south of the main airports across the back road to Rustavi. Apparently it is used for test flights, etc. He then goes on to say that Bhagirathi Cathedral is also a bit more complex. I understand that it was initially the idea of the Patriarchate to rebuild it, but was brushed aside by Misha on the advice of some fairly well-known heavy hitters. Misha then figured it could be a good way of scoring some nationalist Orthodox points and went ahead. The original roof was blown off in an Ottoman invasion in 1692, and as you may have guessed, there's no reliable information as to what it actually looked like. Okay, I've heard the it was all the patriarch's idea, you know, deal several times. And, I mean, okay, maybe, but who really cares? I mean, it was a political decision, and it was the government that actually did the building, ignoring what UNESCO and the wishes of a lot of people. And so whatever had been said with the patriarch, I mean, you know, the patriarch would like to do a whole lot of things in Georgia, but whether, you know, it being the patriarch's idea or not is doesn't really matter very much. Also, this is very similar to a lot of things that have been done, a lot of other historical renovations that have been done quite irresponsibly.
But I think the point about the trying to score points with the Orthodox and the Patriarchate does make sense, because the United National Movement did at certain points have, I think, kind of the Cold War between the Patriarchate and politics.
Well, here, I mean, so. Yes and no, but I mean, I don't know how many. I mean, so what if they scored points? I mean, I think there's a feeling in the national movement that the patriarch was working for Otsneva anyway, and I don't know really.
Not at
what
that
they,
time. I mean,
that they were, you know, that they were not particularly friendly. The government gate has given a lot of money to the patriarch. I mean, in the budget each year. So
how much is it? $25 million.
Yeah, it's direct.
I mean, in general, saying that, well, you know, like, look, that we have to keep the patriarch happy. I don't know whether that's a reasonable excuse for the destruction of a cathedral or any other, you know, policy implementation. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tpilpod.com or send us an email at tpilpod@gmail.com. My Georgian journal in Fides Politra article this week is about USAID, and then another one coming out soon is on Cyprus and what that means for Georgia. A couple of notes to the new authorities. We're here in our perch on Rustaveli, which is the very nerve center of the nation. We have
Without
no
power and internet.
Exactly. We have no electricity. And electricity cuts are more and more frequent. And, you know, this is starting to tick us off a little bit. And so can somebody take care of that? You know, go yell at Talasi or, you know, exercise some oversight or something like that.
I'm telling you, it's the Russians, man.
Yeah, exactly. Talasi. Yeah, okay. Well, great. So here's, you know, I'm sure there's some clause in there saying, you know, if, okay, you own Talasi, but if there's no electricity, we can sort of fire you and nationalize it or something. So I'm not saying, you know, I'm in favor of nationalization or anything, but just, you know, we'd like to have
Mark gets grumpy if there's no power.
Exactly. You know, and the espresso machine doesn't work. And to Dr. Usupashvili, the parliament last night scheduled a hearing on the media legislation. That is crazy, particularly with the parliament being in Kutaisi. The procedural habits of the former parliament under the national movement's constitutional majority were a disaster and progressively got worse and worse over the term of that parliament. It was almost impossible to know when hearings were held. The committees would schedule hearings for a particular day sometimes, but would not announce the time or the room, so nobody came to them, and in the end they were just telling the committee chairs' offices and members of the government in attendance would just tell everybody what they were supposed to do. If the new team in Parliament wants to make things better, they will restore procedure so that the public will have at least several days to figure out when the committee hearings are and can engage with the Parliament in a meaningful way. I'd encourage everyone who meets with members of Parliament to tell them that loudly while grabbing their lapels and shoving them up against the wall.
And especially since one-third of the population lives in Tbilisi, approximately a 3.5-hour drive from the Parliament now, anybody who wants to contribute has to have some advance notice.
Out, Sileblood. On Saturday, the public defender Uche Nanuashvili presented his annual report to Parliament. A significant portion of the report is dedicated to violations in the run-up to the 2012 parliamentary elections. He noted that last year, 67 inmates died in prison, which he said is, quote, quite a high figure.
Did he say how? Because before it was all, there was a lot of tuberculosis. Was this... We don't know.
I don't know whether that was mentioned in the report or not, but that's, you know, certainly a big issue in the prisons. I know from the TB people what they had said was that the problem was over the years that they'd have tuberculosis drugs give them to prisoners.
And then release
until them. They don't. Yeah. No, not that. That they would give the drugs to the prisoners until they ran out of the drugs rather than until the whole course was taken, so that it would create drug-resistant strains that would be in prisons. But I don't know much about TB. No, it's an important issue here.
That's nice, because it always stays only within the certain population. You know, it doesn't spread anywhere else.
Yeah, we got that going for us. So the public defender also studied events at the Lapota Gorge, which took place near the village of Lapancuri in late August 2012, in which 14 people were killed and 6 wounded in a firefight. Earlier, the Interior Ministry reported that 11 militants were killed in the effort who had entered Georgian territory in the Dagestani section of the state border. 3 Georgian servicemen also died. Later, it became known that those killed had actually lived in the Pankisi Gorge and were heading there to Dagestan. Media reported that the militants were trained by Georgian special forces, but at the time, the Interior Ministry refuted the reports. His info on the matter is allegedly from confidential sources and family members of the victims of the Lapancuri special operation. Former high-ranking officials may be accused of crimes related to this. He asked Parliament to set up a temporary investigation committee to examine the case. Public defender emphasized the violations of free media were unprecedentedly high in 2012. Nanawashvili said that the number of crimes motivated by religion decreased that year. However, he noted, quote, religious intolerance, language of hatred, and xenophobia has become an undesirable tendency. According to the public defender's report, a student in Oni tried to commit suicide twice. The parents of the students are Jehovah's Witnesses. After psychological pressure, the student's biology teacher, during class hours without permission from the parents, took the boy to a local church where he was baptized Orthodox. And he did not know that he was going to be baptized there.
And I like that it was the biology teacher.
Yeah, exactly. I may be from Texas. Who knows? So, there's a lot going on with the media legislation. This hearing is going to happen there. Yesterday, TI had a press conference in which they said,
well, basically the discussion is whether there will be a change in the law on broadcasting that would allow the new parliament to dismiss the board of the public broadcaster. And there are some people, some NGOs that say, yeah, we should get rid of the whole board at once, because it has really, I mean, everybody agrees that the public broadcaster has a lot of problems and that the current people on the board have not been proven to be very competent or politically independent or exercise, you know, the necessary financial oversight. But
so the solution to political interference is more political interference?
Well, that's the risk.
Just this one time,
and then it'll be over. Once we got our guys there.
Yeah. So that the risk is, of course, if you replace the whole board and thus the top management of the public broadcaster, it's very tempting for the new majority to put in the people that they think are loyal to them and will do whatever they want. And so we have argued that because there's 15 people on that board, 2 seats are currently vacant, and then there's another 4 opening up in the coming months. We've argued that it makes sense to gradually kind of replace these people under slightly modified procedures, so that there's really a competitive and hopefully transparent choice of good candidates. And it's too risky to kind of replace the whole board.
Oh, so they don't have staggered terms as it is?
They do.
Okay, but it's just because everybody resigned.
And there's also a lot of it being the caucuses, a lot of machinations going on here by certain well-connected individuals who are trying to sort of get themselves in that board, which is not particularly healthy. It's an oversight board, and if there are certain individuals that could end up in there, particularly those with a high profile or have been politically active and whatever else, who could end up in one way or another, controlling content more than should probably be the case. And the reality of it is right now that although clearly the former board was a disaster before, it's pretty good right now. And the public broadcaster is, they're sort of, that's probably the highest quality television news right now.
I think their ratings are climbing. I mean, well, at least their viewership is climbing.
I don't know. I mean, like a couple of weeks ago, there was a talk show on the public broadcaster, and there were some critical statements towards the church, and then the leaders, the management of the public broadcaster, put out the statement that they distanced themselves from their own show. They said this was just a, you know, the opinion of one of our hosts, and she's not.
But they showed it. But they showed it.
No, you know. I mean, yeah, but the role of a management is to back their team, to like, keep
unless,
pressure away from them, and
unless
not to
they're
say,
scared.
Right, yeah.
Unless they're, yeah, okay.
No, so definitely there's room for improvement.
For sure.
And what about, though, the general reception of the Ombudsman's report this year? Because I know in the past it has been kind of like, yeah, check, we heard you, and we looked at it. I mean, was it another huge report that was kind of just passed along, or was it...
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. Let's see what the follow-up is. The thing is, this report, because it's the first one, is really, you know, heavily focused on the previous regime and was an opportunity to take some pot shots there. So, you know, let's see what the next one is like,
that's true.
Talking about the previous period. But yeah, that was, I mean, Tuhushi, the former ombudsman, I mean, said a lot of different things that if the government had listened to them and fixed them, particularly in prisons, things might have turned out a little bit differently. Probably not a lot differently, but a little bit differently. And he was completely ignored. And Giga Bokeria said that after those prison videos came out, that, you know, that they made a big mistake by ignoring him. The Georgia Young Lawyers Association has uncovered between 2005 and 2013, between 300 and 600 million lari was transferred to two funds established by City Hall. The story is that when Tbilisi began renovation of the Old Town, these two funds were established, which were able to operate outside of the transparent procurement system. Together, somewhere between 300 and 600 million lari was transferred to them from the city budget. It's not known which companies received contracts from these funds. So by any standard, 300 and 600 million lari is a lot of lari. And
yeah.
Somebody needs to, look into this seriously.
So these were the old city rehabilitation and development fund and the Tbilisi development fund. So they were mostly doing infrastructure projects and renovations within the city. And they did that without any public accountability. I mean, no consultations, no publication of contracts, no responding to journalists' questions and all that.
They also violated the law all the time by not posting what it was they were going to do. I mean, whole buildings would disappear, and there would be, as they're obligated by law, they'd have to say, you know, something
put
about
signage about what was going to happen.
Signage
there,
about what
yeah.
was going to happen, and they would never do that.
Or it was completely out of date, and you still have stuff, even I think that says 2009 or something completion
right.
date. But wasn't it also? I mean, it wasn't really Gaila that uncovered that. I thought that it was actually a different source.
Well, there were also Studio Monitor reports about that, but maybe Gaila now got more documentation than was available before.
Uh-huh. It started with Studio Monitor, do you know?
Yeah, they looked into like corruption allegations uh-huh. around these funds.
Since we're starting out in the morning, I just wanted to come up with the morning's headlines. Because we don't have electricity, we're not able to go into them in depth, but they'll have a quick mention. There's a tobacco control program. Government's tobacco control program was announced. There's some disagreement about new arbitration courts that are showing up, so the law buffs might want to check into that. Bidzina Ivanishvili hosted a Cranfield University management professor. It's good to hear that they're looking to that. Cranfield is a good UK university that's not as well known as it probably ought to be, and they know a lot about management. A third person was caught buying radioactive substances. These are usually in and out of Abkhazia or South Ossetia.
Via. They're not stored there.
Yeah, via. I mean, coming from Russia via there on their way south of Georgia. So,
what's south of Georgia?
Iran.
Yes. if this is one more reason why this the situation, the lack of clarity related to these territories is not a good thing for the world. Age limits were canceled on state employees. I don't know. Again, I can't check the story, so I don't really know what that means. But evidently, there must have been some hiring age limit in place before.
I wonder if there was an upper limit or a lower limit.
I'm guessing an upper limit, but I don't know. There's a substation building, I guess, with pipeline or electrical transport that is going to be tendered, which probably sounds like it would be a pretty big tender. And there was an announcement, who knows if it'll happen, that Sony is to build a visual arts academy.
In Georgia?
In Georgia. Yeah, I mean, that's one of those announcements that, you know, who knows what that means or what's going to happen there, but, you know, could end up being kind of cool. Last Thursday, Georgia Young Lawyers representative and head of the main division of the Ajara police, Valeri Telia, well-known jerk, got into a fight. The story is that two Young Lawyers representatives, Rowan Pertinadze and Gheorghe Kimchiasvili, were in a car, and Pertinadze, who was driving, ignored a traffic sign where he was supposed to yield the right-of-way to Telia's car. The men got out of their cars and began yelling at each other, as happens. Telia reportedly hit the Young Lawyer representative. Kimchiasvili alleges that Telia threw a lit cigarette at them. Ministry of Interior made a statement later that Pertinadze, the driver of the car, was under the influence of alcohol. Later, it was revealed that Telia doesn't have a driver's license, but Minister of Internal Affairs Garibashvili alleges that Telia was driving because it was an emergency situation.
An emergency situation that allowed him to stop, get into a fight, and right, take exactly. A little extra time.
Well, it was like, not that emergency
in
the situation.
As opposed to
call
a taxi.
It was a somewhat emergency situation. This clash took place outside a money exchange, and by law they have surveillance cameras outside, but when the investigators took the video footage out, they deleted the footage, supposedly by accident. Chairman of Young Lawyers reported that the money exchange was closed for several days and its owner is going to leave the country out of fear. There's a lot of discussions, especially about the Interior Ministry, like are they going to sort of say, well, it's okay if it's our guys. So people look sort of carefully at these cases. This is a case in which it was very, very clear that the Interior Ministry, at least in Ajada, was protecting their own guy. It's unfortunate that that's happening. I'm not saying that there was no fault on the side of the Young Lawyers person, but the biggest problem with this is the Interior Ministry announcing with a straight face that by mistake we deleted the video footage. On Monday, the newspaper Resonanze reported that Energy Minister Kahikaladze had hired a businessman of Turkish origin as a deputy minister and that this person had been a supporter of separatism in Ajada. After a whole lot of confusion, a whole lot of sort of racist nationalistic comments all over the place, and Kaladze commenting that the report was absurd, Resonanze said that it was an April Fool's joke.
Funny.
Yeah, really uproarious.
Well, also, I kind of find that funny.
Well,
it would be funny on a meta level, and I don't think it was up there. I think it was
No, it's
just
funny
like,
on a meta level in the sense that there's been this whole discussion about, the mosque in Ajada and all this stuff, and it's kind of like, we're just going to make fun of you guys for being so nationalistic and racist.
But instead, it was sort of the other way around. It was more sort of like, it should have been to shake the racists out of the trees, and instead it was sort of, it was more sort of like, no, we would never, ever appoint that. That must be preposterous, because we would never, ever appoint someone like that to,
Oh, you mean Kaladze's response?
Yeah.
No, I meant Tungushi did a good job.
On Tuesday, Defense Minister Irakli Alasania met with media representatives where he discussed new procedures regarding the ministry's financial expenditures each time the ministry... processes property or equipment of over 2 million lari or procure services valued at over 4 million lari, the ministry will send detailed information to the Parliamentary Committee on Defense and Security.
Does this mean...
That's a pretty high bar, they couldn't they have said, 1 million lari or,
And also, does this mean in advance and that they're seeking approval, or that just means that they're informing them?
I think informing. I don't know. But, a step in the right direction, seems to me. Government is preparing to celebrate Georgia's Independence Day on May 26th. Georgian politicians said that the parade on that day may become yet another example of cohabitation between the president and the new government.
Or the day that you don't want to be in Tbilisi.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it going to be in Kutaisi?
I would imagine Tbilisi. I mean, for a little bit of background on, you know, the one that was held a couple of years ago on the actual anniversary of the signing was a big mess. Everyone knew it was going to be a big mess. You know, Badri Bitsadze and Nino Borjanadze had a bunch of goons parked out in front with these weird white plastic sticks that were clearly there just to get the government to, you know, to take the bait and smack the heck out of them, which is exactly what happened. And everyone knew it was exactly what was going to happen, rather than what would have been a more mature gesture to just say, you know, we're going to skip the parade and hold it inside. And the parade was really very, very militaristic. I mean, you know, with tanks and the whole bit, it was very weird being there as they came along and having seen people put children up on tanks and takes pictures of them. But, you know, I guess that's the way it's done around here.
Well, that's how it was, especially before the war. And I think it was in 2009 when they decided that, oh, okay, we're not going to have the tanks going down Rista Valley.
Yeah, which, you know, I think was a wise decision. We'll see what they do this time around. Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri stated that May payments on Georgia's foreign debt will amount to $200 million. Of these, $160 million will be paid to the IMF, and the rest will go to Eurobond repayment. As of the end of February, arrears to the IMF amounted to $379 million. Government intends to repair the newly restored Rabati fortress in Akhaltsikhe. For those of you who don't know, this is close to Akhaltsikhe and was really done up in such a way that you can't really tell that it was once old. At least I have not visited there, but from looking at the pictures of it, it was a really very comprehensive redo job.
The blinding mosque.
Blinding mosque. The president's press...
Before it was a hill with a ruin on it and was not open to the public. I mean, before there was not that much
and
to see.
And a whole bunch of mud, normally. Yeah.
The president's press speaker, Manana Manjgaladze, described this as a... continuation of the government's efforts to, quote, raise to the ground and destroy what was built and done in Georgia over the past years, end quote. Deputy Culture Minister Marina Mizandari responded that the former government's restoration of the complex was done by ignoring the principles of preserving cultural heritage. She added that some portions, including a mosque, must be repaired. On Monday, Mayor Gigi Ulavat named Khatuna Berzanashvili head of administration of Tbilisi's Kurtsanisi district. Berzanashvili was recently sacked from her post as head of the news and public broadcaster.
So she was the head of the newsroom, and she was widely perceived to be like the gatekeeper of the United National Movement ever since, I think, 2009. So basically she controlled what would go on the air and what wouldn't, and what stories would be covered and how, and so if there was coordination of news stories between the public broadcaster and the media and Rustavi too, it was her who did that coordination, allegedly. And so she was recently fired by the acting director, and then there was a whole fuss about, you know, political pressure or political motivation of her firing, and now she got a government position.
Whether or not she personally was responsible, I have no information, but clearly there was coordination. Like, for example, when that guy was...
fell down the stairs in Khashoggi.
Air quotes, fell down the stairs, but in reality was beaten to death by the police in Khashoggi. And the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, did a great report on it where they actually had the text that was exactly the same for Imedi Rustavioti. There was obvious coordination going on, and everybody knew that. So somebody was the conduit. Labor Party announced that Gheorghe Gugava is its candidate for Tbilisi's Nadzala Devi constituency. Gugava is the Labor Party's political secretary.
And this is pretty good news, because the Labor Party will make this campaign more fun.
Absolutely. We need to have the Labor Party in there, which is Georgia's, you know, perennial...
Third party, wacky,
I don't know what, you know. Party leader Shalvan Natalashvili, you know, well-known, colorful character, said on Monday that a vote for Gugava is a vote for quote, national consciousness, self-sacrifice, and salvation, end quote.
Does the voter self-sacrifice?
Who's self-sacrifice? Yeah, the voter or the candidate? Earlier, Natanashvili declared that he will run for president and Shukimovita.
I was going to say Shukimovita.
We now have electricity again. Everybody's happy about that. The UNM faction at the Tbilisi City Council did not support their own initiative to dismiss the UNM chairperson, Zal Samardashvili, from his post. They voted to put the issue on the agenda, but after it was approved by the 24-member quorum, all 24 of them voted against the dismissal. The opposition called the event a sitting circus and left in protest.
Maybe about this. So yesterday, the parliament discussed changes to the election code, these changes were adopted in the first hearing by the majority, and according to these changes, if a Sacri Bulo, so a city council, has three vacant seats, and there's more than 1 year to the next regular election, there will be a by-election for Sacri Bulos, which so far basically never happened, because until now you needed five vacant seats in the city council and 2 years until the next election to have one. So the United National Movement is against that, because that would mean that we would have, if passed, by-elections on the local level in Tbilisi in June, and also in Oni and a few other municipalities. So the UNM sees that as an attempt by the Georgian Dream to change the majority in the Tbilisi Sacri Bulo, where the UNM still holds a majority. And also the chairman of the Central Election Commission came out and said, if you pass this, this could create some problems with administration and of elections and deadlines and all that, and that he wasn't properly involved in these consultations beforehand.
Do all Sacri Bulos have the same number of members?
No, I don't think so. I think Tbilisi has more than the
smaller. Right. So it's regardless of the total percentage of that number.
Yeah.
So if you have 10 people and three all of a sudden are not there, then you would have a by-election regardless, or if it's 25.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they could do that proportionally. Let's see if they see if they get it together on that. For the four photographers who were arrested, charged, and imprisoned for espionage, had their convictions revoked by the prison ministry. Irakli Gedanidze, Gyorgy Abdaladze, Zura Kurtzhidze, and Natia Gedanidze were arrested in July 2011 and released under Misha, though not given amnesty. And many believe that was the sort of most obvious example of, just completely unfair. These people are spies. When everybody knew they were spies, they were forced into a plea bargain and couldn't talk about it.
Yeah, and they were out on probation. So, that's why. But I was just wondering why the ministry can overturn that.
Good question.
Like, shouldn't it be a court that says, here's...
I don't know.
Free, no probation.
That's a good question. If we have any lawyers who know about this, please let us know on the forum or send us an email.
They just erased their names from the book.
Poster.
Everything's okay now.
You were never here.
On Monday, the Ministry of Interior released a statement expressing concern over Russia's decision to order large-scale, unscheduled military exercises of its armed forces in the Black Sea region. Russia's foreign ministry spokesman responded to Georgia by saying their concerns are groundless and out of sync with the country's declared commitment to normalize relations with Russia.
Well, the reason why this happened was apparently, 2 months ago or something, Putin's called for some sort of movements in the Black Sea, and everybody was totally unprepared and really messed up. And so he said, okay, we're going to go through this again, and you have a little bit of time to fix all your problems. And so this was the response. So this was, kind of the, you get a second chance to prove that you actually are competent.
Okay. Oh, the Kremlin. On Friday, clergy representatives from Georgia and Russia met with the president of Abkhazia, Alexander
Akhmatov. De facto president.
De facto. No, we don't say de facto anymore.
We do?
No, yeah, we made a decision not to say de facto anymore because...
The three of us?
Yes. I can't remember why, but we had good reasons. Because it's like, Al-Qaeda. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it seems petty and ridiculous to some. So, anyway, it was actually... a listener, you know, sort of called us on that and said, here are the reasons not to do that. And, you know, it was discussed. I artfully use a passive voice there, and okay, the decision was made. President of Abkhazia, Ankvab, Archbishop of Borjomi and Bakuriani, Serafim, said that the prospects for relations between the churches was discussed at the meeting. Georgian Patriarchy proposed that the government of Abkhazia plan a meeting in Suchumi, but the government refused. This from our Santa Monica bureau chief, Nezavizhmaya Gazeta, published an editorial on Friday that calls for the suspension of the unproductive Geneva talks. The argument is that Georgia isn't going to sign a non-aggression pact with the Abkhaz or the South Ossetians, since it would give them legitimacy and de facto recognition. Since the Georgian Abkhaz and Georgian South Ossetian problems are intertwined with the Georgian-Russian problems, at this stage of the consultations, the issue cannot be fully differentiated. The article claims that given the parties' non-negotiability, these consultations are jeopardizing the advancement of the process of normalization of Russo-Georgian relations.
What is the normalization, actually? Like, what is the normal stage of Russian-Georgian relations? There has never been a normal stage.
Right? Pre-1801, I think. I don't know. I have sort of mixed feelings about that. I mean, you know, in the end, the not recognizing these entities, I mean, okay, you're not going to recognize them as sovereign, but not recognizing that they have any existence whatsoever means essentially that there can never be any agreement about anything, looked at one way. And, I don't know whether that's so worthwhile.
This must have been written by, I would say, a Russian, because, I mean, basically, like, the Geneva talks are one of the only places where there are representatives from South Ossetia and Abkhazia are actually present. Otherwise, it's discussions between Russians and Georgians. Georgians consider that it's a conflict between Georgia and Russia, generally, and refuse to recognize anybody from Abkhazia and South Ossetia as interlocutors in this whole process, which, you know, really upsets anybody from Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and I think undermines any sort of kind of movement or conflict resolution or between Georgia and Abkhazia and Georgia and South Ossetia. It's just about recognizing who the parties are, even in within the conflict.
And it's also not very smart because, I mean, I think part of that is because Georgia finds it more palatable, the idea that they lost a war to to Russia rather than to Abkhazia. Historically, the way they look at it, I mean, in the early 90s, and you can argue about that. I mean, Georgia was sort of, winning, and then a lot of horrible things happened that Georgians don't seem to talk about a whole lot, and then Russia became a little bit more involved, and then Georgia lost that war. But, I mean, there's also the question of tactically, it really, Georgia's not going to get anywhere with the Kremlin, and everybody knows that, whereas if they were to discuss things directly with the Abkhaz and the Ossetians, they might be able to, come to some agreement or find some areas of mutual
coexistence,
something. I don't know, anything. I mean, and so it's just, I'm not a professional in these matters, but I am in favor of chatting.
Well, and Abkhazia really wants independence. I mean, South Ossetia might be a little bit different, but Abkhazia really wants independence. And this kind of the way that the Georgian government and the Russian government have been kind of playing with Abkhazia at this point has really put the Abkhaz in an absolute corner, and they're completely isolated, and going to end up basically a Russian colony if some things aren't really changed.
And there are a lot of Abkhaz that are concerned about becoming a Russian colony, and the Georgians are not giving them much of an opening to discuss those concerns.
Exactly.
On Friday, Member of Parliament Guy Volsky published the American official Matt Brize's recommendations to the previous government regarding conflict management, which he wrote 2 years prior to the August War. The letter with Brize's advice was sent to former Georgian ambassador to the U.S., Sikharulidze, to the then Minister of Foreign Affairs, Gela Bezhashvili. Sikharulidze speaks about the details of the meeting with the former diplomat Matt Brize on the 1st of June 2006. Volsky gave Sikharulidze's letter to Bezhashvili to the broadcasting company Imedi. According to the recommendations, the Georgian parliament should not pass emotional and confrontational resolutions about Russian peacekeeping forces in Abkhazia, which took place on the 15th of June. In such circumstances, neither the U.S. nor the U.N. would support Georgia. Doing so, Bryza said, would harm not only the possibility of solving the Abkhaz conflict, but would have a negative impact on European countries' decision to involve Georgia in an intensive dialogue with NATO.
So Bryza was like the soothsayer.
That was 2 years, so 2006.
Right.
Yeah, it was 2006, which was an important time. Yeah. I mean, there was, you know, and I mean, I think all along that that Bryza and County Rice had said, look, we've been telling the Georgians to calm down in private, and this sort of proves that, you know, that was indeed the case. I mean, I think the other question, at least for a lot of Europeans and others, was that the relationship between Bryza and the senior officials in the Georgian government was so close, so friendly that, you know, did they really, you know, did they believe that? Did they think that he was saying that because he was, you know, he felt like he was sort of, you know, covering his tail in case anything happened, you know, but was sort of secretly sort of cheering them on or, you know, or what?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, just to feed into kind of the discussion for listeners, I mean, after the 2008 war, there's a lot of surprise, I think, among the Georgian public that the United States didn't come and actually support Georgia in a stronger fashion. And there was a huge discussion about whether or not the United States had ever made any pledges that they would do so. And everybody, I mean, at least in my circles, was talking about the fact that Bryza had been coming to Georgia quite frequently and had been expressly saying, look, we're not going to support you if, you know, something military happens. And so afterwards, there was actually kind of, I think, a bit of a lashback against the United States and its support for Georgia, because there had been this expectation among the Georgian public that the United States would come in and militarily support Georgia if there had been a war with Russia.
Yeah, a lot of that is just the Georgian media, or the general Georgian attitude that Georgia is just so incredibly important. I mean, the lack of quality of the sort of the general discussion in Georgia about how Georgia fits in with the sort of global reality. And that doesn't mean that the U.S. will always favor great powers or the Europe will otherwise. But I think there's a tendency within Georgian media and just in general Georgian discussions to think that Georgia is just incredibly important. And the idea that the...
That's with most small countries, coming from a small country myself. There is a tendency in small countries, especially...
Well, that's true, but Austria is incredibly unimportant. I mean, in reality, so that's a little bit, you know... But I don't know. I mean, I've spent, the Malawians, you know, which are of less strategic interest to anyone in the rest of the world and practically any country in the world, they know that, you know. The Albanians, you know, I would say that they didn't have any illusions, you know.
They didn't have the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Austria didn't have the Austro-Hungarian Empire, you know. The Prussians made quick work of that. Okay, sorry. You had a lot of great art. Political analyst Gia Khukhashvili published a letter in which Grigol Vashadze, the former culture and foreign minister, wrote to his Russian counterparts 3 months after the 2008 war. In the letter, Vashadze asked the Russian Minister of Culture to allow the Tbilisi Opera and Ballet Theater, as well as Georgian dance and singing companies, including Eddie Sioni, to perform in Russia. As a reminder, UNM recently criticized Eddie Sioni for performing in Russia in February. Minister of Culture Guram Odishania said that similar letters were discovered at the ministry, but they do not intend to publish them.
One incredibly short comment on this. When we saw that Vashadze was Minister of Culture, I was like, what? And I looked it up and he was like for 6 weeks or something.
Yeah, I don't remember him being Minister of Culture. Russia's chief sanitary doctor, Gennady Onishenko,
friend of the show. We assume.
Yeah, we like one of these days.
We've befriended him.
I've never met the guy, but I just love him.
We might be able to.
It could be. Yeah, it could happen.
Just set up a fan club.
He said that Borjomi mineral water will not return to the Russian market yet. Onishenko said that they have some questions and require additional samples. On a related note, Georgia may start exporting agricultural products and beer to Russia. A Georgian delegation led by the National Food Agency, Zura Chekurashvili, left for Moscow on Tuesday to speak to the chief of sanitary inspection about food safety.
to sample a little bit together, maybe.
And of course, a Russian delegation is planning to come inspect beer producers in Georgia.
Please let Onyshenko be there.
On Tuesday, there was a groundbreaking ceremony for the U.S.-funded Maritime Fusion Center on Georgia's coast at Poti. $1.2 million U.S. dollars of the $6 million facility was allocated through the State Department's export control related to border security programs. U.S. Embassy in Tbilisi said that the aim of the center will be to fight against illicit traffic and crime through interagency cooperation. Beginning April 1st, monthly pensions for about 195,000 people below the age of 67 will increase from 110 to 125 lari. More than 21,000 disabled people will see their pensions increase from 100 to 125 as well. A census will be held in 2014. The last census held in 2012 showed that there are...
2002.
Showed that there are 4.5 million Georgian citizens, including 1.2 million who live in Tbilisi. I guess they want to count all the little third baby patriarch, godchildren and whoever else. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. Let's hope that they mesh that with voters' lists.
Well. Yeah, no, I mean, because I think there's a lot that's actually used the census for. I mean, at least in our polling, for example, in the polling that's done at the Caucasus Research Resource Center, you have to use some sort of sampling frame, and the sampling frame is usually the national census. The census was supposed to be conducted in 2012, but then they postponed it to 2014. I do not know why. But perhaps
elections, maybe.
I was wondering.
I mean, they're expensive and very, very important. And let's hope should they, do a lot of interagency cooperation on this effort, because they get a lot of useful information there. And let's hope that it's accurate information, which has not always been the place to cast. Because even when you're not doing, congressional districting as in the United States, it's always a highly politicized activity.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, maybe, because it doesn't actually, there's the whole one vote, one voter, or the value of the vote discussion here in Georgia. So even the census won't really affect that. I mean, so regardless of...
right now, but who knows? I mean, you still have, six or seven times as many voters in some districts as others, even though some were split. TI Georgia reports that in Zugdidi, employees of the municipality's cleaning service are shooting street dogs. The TI Georgia condemns this cruel approach and is asking the government to elaborate a uniform approach to address the problem of street dogs, one that includes spaying and neutering and building shelters, not putting the animals down, which is a metaphor for killing them. Officials from Zugdidi Municipality say that there are no animal shelters in their district.
So shooting them then is the obvious thing. So, example, if you have homeless children, then there's no homeless
shelter.
You just get to shoot them too. That's a really good, response. I think also you should add vaccinations and vaccinations to that list. And there are a number of non-governmental organizations who are interested in working on this issue and have connections with international organizations who would be interested also in funding this. There's a lot of international practice that demonstrates exactly that spaying, neutering, vaccinating, and returning animals to the place where they're living is a much better approach than just killing them.
It's pretty cheap, too, frankly.
Cheaper than officially putting them down in a humane way as opposed to using the bullet and then charging their family.
Sergei Kobtsev was appointed director general of Telasi. Kobtsev worked in senior positions at Russian companies, including Khabarovsk Energo, Far East Generation Company, and East Energy Company. Just to remind y'all out there, the director general of Telasi has been replaced three times during 2012, and we're still getting electricity cuts. Starting April 1st, customers must pay a commission when adding money to their mobile balances at the quick pay machines, often called pay boxes. TBC Pay, OSMP, and Paybox have set their commission at, 4% of the total amount deposited.
And it's interesting, in a country that has competition regulation, which we are still kind of waiting for the new law, that would be a clear indication of a cartel. If everybody, new fee is 4%
exactly.
On the same day, people are making phone calls.
Bank of Georgia, or Sakartvelos Banki, has stated that they will not have commission fees on mobile deposits. So, all you Bank of Georgia people or people who are with those other banks, you know, consider that if you use that service. Fly Georgia now has flights to Kiev four times a week. The cost of a one-way flight is 105 euros. Round trip costs 203.
So you get a discount of 7 euros.
There's really, I mean, flights are changing a lot. Look, Pegasus has really, really changed things quite a bit. I mean, it's very, very sad that the London flight has been canceled. But the discount airlines are really, really changing things. It's a lot easier to move in and out of Tbilisi now, and it seems like that's improving.
Yeah. And I also saw a Ryanair is coming report as we've seen for the last four years.
Georgian football player Levan Kobayashvili is leaving the Georgian football team. Kobe posted on Facebook his resignation, noting that although the Football Federation is managed by former footballers, they do not appreciate the players or treat them with respect. Energy Minister and former footballer Kahi Khaladze commented that the Football Federation should wake up and treat their players better. Radio Kommersant did a survey of hr.com.ge and found a 20% drop in the number of job vacancies posted during the first quarter of this year as compared to last. They speculate that the drop is because companies are saving financial resources for the time being, perhaps out of insecurity. Here's some interesting data from Geostat. Georgia's annual inflation remained below zero at -2.1%,
otherwise known as deflation.
Prices on food and non-alcoholic beverages were down 3.1% year-on-year that month. There was an 8.2% year-on-year decline in the prices of housing, water, electricity, and gas, which actually, of course, accounted for the whole thing. It was a drop in the so-called tariffs. Prices on healthcare services increased 3.3%. Price on hotels and restaurants went up by 2% as compared to last year's March. Transportation is down 2.3%. Parliamentary news this week. Parliament's Defense and Security Committee, as well as the Committee on Human Rights, discussed the bill on liberalization of criminal responsibility for entering the occupied territories from Russia. This is a very important bill for a lot of Georgians that are very worried that want to go in and out of Russia, like on the bus that goes through South Ossetia. A lot of ethnic Russians and others and have worried a lot about jeopardizing their U.S., their Georgian citizenship and that sort of thing. According to the changes, a citizen of a foreign country or a person without citizenship who violates the law in occupied territories will be fined 400 lari instead of imprisoned. The draft on changes to the labor code, which envisions regulating the interests of employees and employers, was considered in its first reading. For those of you who are not following this, business is freaking out a little bit about this, and in my own personal view, I've written about this before. This is a quite a dangerous law. The previous law basically didn't really give any rights to workers, but this law places a pretty obvious administrative burden on employers, sort of presuming that all employers are big employers. It won't be that big of a deal for anybody who's got more than, let's say, 30, 40, or 50 people to deal with all of the stuff that they say needs to be done. But for small and new businesses, it'll be extremely difficult for this. And I think it's quite likely to lead to businesses hiring fewer people, particularly young people. They just don't want to take the risk of being sued.
There's also a very strict regulation on overtime payment. So basically, if people work more than, I think, 48 hours a week, there's a very clear rule of how they have to receive extra compensation for the overtime, which means that salaries will drop,
and so that if anybody ever has to work overtime, so people will just be forced into working overtime in order to collect the salary that they were getting before. The draft discussing regulatory issues relating to labor issues will regulate overtime payment exactly as we just said, but allegedly in accordance with the European Social Charter, the European Pinko Charter, more like it. Meme Watch last week, Polytrek TV interviewed Vanza Bagrationi, the Georgian rapper. Many in Georgia are thrilled to be scandalized by her and her videos. Key members of the Tbilpod.com assembly team are looking for any excuse to watch Vanza Bagrationi videos, and so are calling it this week's meme. We'll post the Georgian language interview on the forum so that Gvansa's fame may spread.
But is she famous because she's not wearing that much in her videos and dancing? Or
could have something to do with it. I don't know.
Oh, I thought she was, like, rapping about awesome social issues and probably, you know, about her hard upbringing and, you know, about living on the streets.
No pensions. You know, living on the streets of Lukiani, you know, Little Miss Bagarationi. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe. This week's geocapital number is 67%, which is the percentage of Georgians who believe that men make better business executives than women, according to the World Value Surveys. Georgia's neighbors score lower on this measure, with Turkey at 54% and Russia at 51%. In Sweden, only 7.5% believe that your CEO better be a man, compared with 14% in France, 11% in Canada, 17% in the UK and US. The list is topped by Egypt with 86%. This week's English language movies at the Rooster Valley Movie Theater across from Parliament are tomorrow, Friday, Oz the Great and Powerful at 8 p.m. April 6th, Saturday, April 6th, Jack the Giant Slayer at 5:10 p.m. Tickets are 10 Lottie and 50 Tetri. Colga movies this week. Les Miserables, 2012, which is a musical. That's Friday, tomorrow. Sunday, April 7th, Django Unchained. All movies start at 8 p.m. at Dom Kino across from Rooster Valley Metro and McDonald's. Tickets are 7 lottie. If you're in Portland and looking for some great Georgian food, go to Karigigogo, K-A-R-G-I-G-O-G-O, new Georgian food cart pod that we have been reporting on. They sell Badrijani, Lobiani, Khingali, Khachapuri, and more. Tell all your friends in Portland about it. For more information, go to karigigogo.com or look up at karigigogo.pdx on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Locals can call them at area code 503-489-8432.
And this was our weekly public service announcement for the greater Portland area listeners,
of which we have lots, I'm sure, now, especially that they're so excited about the food. Yes, we were not paid for this advertisement. We're doing this as a public service announcement in the hope that there will be Georgian food trucks in other parts of North America, Europe, and one day maybe Georgia. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And this week, we will finish with, from 1992, by the way, the year that the other big Lusophone country in Africa signed a peace agreement between Renamo and Frelimo when I was living right next door in Malawi. Anyway, I was thinking about doing a song about Angola prison in Louisiana, but thought that was a little depressing on this celebratory day for Angola. So we will close with, from 1992, this is a song actually about Angola by Cesare Avora called Angola.
Es vida só que eu estou viver, para de rir não te baixei, sem macama com sabura. Angola, Angola, oi, que povo sal, a minha os gata mata, o meu coro para amanhã caminho. Angola, Angola, oi, que povo sal, a minha os gata mata, o meu coro para amanhã caminho. Es convivência, desenhos vivência, paciência de um consequência, resistência de um extravagância. Es convivência, desenhos vivência, paciência de um consequência, resistência de um extravagância. Angola, Angola, oi, poça, pra mim os catamatana, um encora pra banha caminho. Angola, Angola, oi, poça, pra mim os catamatana, Vem fora pra manhã caminho. Angola, Angola, oi, moça, a minha oscata mata, vem com hora pra banhar caminho. Angola, Angola, oi, moça, a minha oscata mata, vem com hora pra banhar caminho. Angola, Angola, oi, moça, a minha oscata mata, vem com hora pra banhar caminho. Angola, Angola, oi, moça, a minha oscata mata, vem com hora pra manhã caminho. Angola, Angola, oi, moça, a minha oscata mata, vem com hora pra manhã caminho. Angola, Angola, oi, moça, a minha oscata mata, vem com hora pra manhã caminho.